Blind Nil Audio.
I'm Alex L.
I'm Libby Delena. Welcome
to This Morning Walk Podcast.
Okay.
We are on a walk. Hi, walk stars.
Hi, walk stars. Good morning.
Me and Libby are in the same place. We're walking in her town of Newburyport, Massachusetts.
Yes, and it's finally sunny. Yesterday it was cold and rainy, so our walks were short and
cold.
Short and cold.
Short and cold. But we did it. Got it done. Yeah, so today we are going to talk about trusting your gut, my gut, our guts.
Our guts. Trust the guts.
That's not the title of this podcast. That is not trust the guts.
No, that's not the title, but that actually would be funny. Okay, so you want to tell us what happened recently where you didn't trust your gut?
I do. So I was in a situation where I sitting down to get a haircut, and simple, straightforward. It was the first one I had in a very long time. And there was an opportunity to do a little something for my hair. And
like a treatment, right? Additional treatment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not something I ever really do. My hair is naturally the way it is, mm-hmm. meaning I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. And
it's naturally white, and people know you for your white hair.
Correct.
Yes.
There I was dancing around. So at that moment, I thought I wasn't really embodied. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't thinking about what my gut was telling me. And to be perfectly honest, my gut was
my butt.
My butt. That too, probably. Was screaming at me. What are you doing? No, just get a haircut. The white hair is very unique and very different. So I didn't pay attention, and I just said, yes, sure, let's do it. Short of the story is that it has created a new color in my hair.
Yeah.
And
that's disappointing.
It was disappointing.
Because you didn't say...
I didn't listen.
You didn't listen to your gut.
I did not. I did not listen to my gut. And the only thing at the moment that I'm unhappy about, well, mostly, is that I didn't listen to myself. Mm-hmm. Everything's fixable. Everything's figure outable. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's just hair. Mm-hmm. And the thing I just am really reflecting on is my willingness to not listen to that little tiny voice mm-hmm. that was saying, screaming,
don't do it,
don't
girl.
Do it. What are you doing? and she was loud. She was loud. I just completely looked past her.
Isn't it interesting how we will bypass certain things because we're like, oh, well, it can't be too bad. It won't get that bad. This person knows what they're doing. I trust them. I'm in their seat. They know, you know, it's like, I don't need to trust myself right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to hand it
over. I'm going to hand it over. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, a lot of our healing work, at least for mine, comes through with like relinquishing control and yes, listening to myself, but also knowing when to loosen the reins a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I think we all have those moments where it's like, what do we do? Like, what does it even mean to listen to ourselves? Well, what does it mean to let someone else lead for us? Like, how does that look? And I think for a lot of us, when we know, we know. That's the best way that I can put it. And I know that some people may be listening to this like that. It is not that straightforward. And it may not be all the time, but I remember being friends with this woman. I was younger than her, and she was kind of like a big sister mentor to me. And I was having a really hard time. I was in my baby healing journey. And I remember asking her a question and her saying, when you know, you know. And I remember being like, girl, that is not.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that feels like.
Right. Yeah. And I remember getting frustrated with her, and she goes, listen, I don't have the words for you. Your journey is not my journey. But just trust that when you know, you know. You will feel it in your body. You will feel it in your stomach. You will feel it. Mm-hmm. And she really didn't know how to explain it. She just said those things. And I now know, as I am approaching my, you know, I'm in my mid-30s. It's like, I get it now. And, you know, we're not always going to get it right. A lot of times we'll get it wrong. But I think what we should be walking through when we get it wrong is compassion and grace for ourselves. And in this case, like, oh, I'm pissed about my hair, but there's nothing I can do to change it. Let me have some acceptance around like what I can change and what I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so beautifully said. And I think to that point of when you know, you know, I think that is so true. And I would say at that moment, I knew and I was willing. I was willing to put it aside. I was willing to put it aside for the sake of maybe not creating a moment, a scene, a discomfort.
Not questioning the quote-unquote expert.
Right, yes. Right. That felt more uncomfortable to me than recognizing that actually, it didn't feel good. It didn't feel right. That was uncomfortable, that feeling, that sort of knowing. But what felt even worse was potentially creating a disruptive moment or a implication that I didn't care for or trust the expert. And in a way, that was harder than listening to myself.
You know, it's so interesting what we'll do in regards to shrinking ourselves to make other people feel comfortable.
Yep.
And even in like little moments like this wasn't a big thing. I'm sure if you would have said no thanks, she would have said, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely. Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I don't want to ruffle the feathers. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to cause issue.
And what is that? Right. That's so fascinating.
I think that's the work.
Yeah, right.
That's the work. Right. That's the, oh, I do that thing. Let me course correct how I do that thing.
Right.
I mean, you and I both have had hair woes this year.
Yes.
So I shared in an essay that I wrote, and I'll put it in the link in the description for you guys to read it if you'd like. But it's called Healing Through Disappointment. And I talk about my struggle with trichotillomania, which is a hair pulling disorder that is very closely like linked to my OCD that I didn't get diagnosed with until I was an adult, my OCD and anxiety. And so I've been hair pulling since I've been 19, maybe even more, like maybe even younger than that. But my first real issue with hair pulling came up at 19 when I had picked a bald spot in the middle of my head that was about quarter's width, like, you know, the quarter coins. Mm-hmm. It was like a size of a quarter. Mm-hmm. And I was so ashamed. Mm-hmm. I was going through a really intense emotional time. Mm-hmm. And hair pulling is what made me feel, it's how I would release. Mm-hmm. My stress and anxiety. And anywho, that happened again. I haven't hair pulled in a bad way in about 2 years. But recently, earlier this year, I was growing my hair out. And whenever my hair gets a certain length, I just feel more
drawn to it.
Yeah. Especially this one spot that's my favorite spot to pull.
Yeah.
And my husband's father died at the top of this year. It's a lot of stress, there's a lot of grief, a lot of heaviness, and I wasn't addressing it. I was just head down trying to make sure that my husband was okay and our kids were, you know, taken care of during daddy's like grief. And it was just a lot of stress. And I started pulling again. And I pulled and pulled and pulled and had broken and my hair off in a lot of different places from the pulling, and my scalp had gotten really tender. And I was like, you know what? I have to go to the barber and cut my hair. I don't want to cut my hair, but I don't want bald spots. And so I share that because I knew I shouldn't be pulling. I would be pulling and being like, girl, don't pull, and just be pulling. Like, it was really intense. Like, you don't want bald spots. You don't want to have to get your hair cut. You're growing your hair out, remember? Like, and I would be talking to myself through the pulling, knowing better. Been here before.
Right.
But here's the lesson that I learned that I've finally been able to see through all of this is, at least I decided, hey, go to the barber, cut your hair down. Because if you don't, you're going to make this worse. And so even though I knew better, I also knew well enough to say, okay, you're back here. How do you want to care for yourself through this? And so this doesn't get worse. And while our situations are different in this moment, I think that the beauty is grace for ourselves during times that really feel disappointing.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's almost as if, my feeling around it was, oh my gosh, I let myself down. I didn't honor that feeling. To your point, I know better. And the next chapter of this lesson is that learning to have a generous, compassionate heart around it.
Yeah.
And I will say, interestingly, after it happened, the thing that felt really, really soothing for me was, surprise, surprise, going for a walk. And just taking that kind of turbulent feeling that was in my chest and my stomach, and should be no surprise, but going for the walk somehow is so soothing. I think I've mentioned this before. You know that feeling when you pick up a baby and you just start rocking? That's what it feels like to me. It's like this incredibly soothing. Yeah, so that soothing feeling. I just went for a number of walks, and you know, there is a component of this which is also I don't know, is it the ego? Is it the vanity? Is it that I was interested to sort of bump up against too, which is, just this feeling of, wow, it's amazing how I felt different about myself.
Yeah, that part too. Me too. Me too.
Which is fascinating because it's really easy to say, and I've heard myself say it, oh my gosh, it's just hair, and it's solvable, and that's all true. That's all true.
Yes.
And in this in-between stage, it's also
hard
and interesting to note.
Yeah.
And also, there's a component of me that feels like, oh my gosh, look, this is so superficial. It's so superficial.
But I don't think a part of it may be that for me, it's not so much the hair. It's the self-betrayal.
100%.
It's the self-betrayal.
Oh.
And because I've been bald. I've had long hair. I've had short hair. I've been bald. It's not the hair, but it's like, oh, I had chosen, this time I'm growing my hair out.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
Right.
And I betrayed myself by doing something
that didn't allow that me to
didn't
get that.
Align with my goal, because I was like, I'd rather pull than reach my goal. I know that it's complicated. I've talked to my therapist about this. It's like, you couldn't help it. I couldn't help it, but I had tools that I didn't tap into. And so for me, it's more so of the self-betrayal sounds really big and deep, but that's how it feels for me.
Yes.
And the disappointment of, girl, come on.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You know, you knew. Yeah. You knew better.
Right. Right.
You were talking to yourself while you were doing the thing.
Yes.
Right. You know?
And you didn't listen to yourself.
Voice.
You ignored yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's 100%. It's not about the physicality of the hair. It is the energy that went into absolutely ignoring and discarding, disregarding any of that, mm-hmm. any of that information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in fact, the little voice that's talking to you is your tool.
Is the tool.
Is the self-protection. That's right.
And we're like, no.
No.
How we're feeling right now, what we want to control this situation right now, right. And so we're going to ignore what our voice is telling us.
The best wisdom there is in the world.
Yes.
Shows up for us at that moment, whether we call it protection or awareness or wisdom or thoughtfulness, at that moment, the best thing on the planet for me showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And
I said, shut up.
I said, sit down. Yeah, have a seat.
I said,
I'm not paying
sit down
attention
and
to
hush,
you.
Hush.
Yeah, hush. Right. You over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, you over there. I'm at the salon. This lady knows what she's doing. I'm going to sit down and let her do what she does.
That's right.
Or,
and it's respectful.
And it's yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
yeah.
Being human, man.
Man, humaning, yeah, is challenge.
Humans will human, that is for sure.
So true. Well, yeah, what else is there to say about this? They're all lessons.
Yeah.
And they're
lessons that we walk through.
And they're powerful, and I think as important as that moment when that voice shows up is the inquiry after. What would be a real shame is to just continue on mm-hmm. and not actually acknowledge or pay attention to the lesson that just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm trying to think how to articulate the lesson in a way other than just like listen to your gut, because we've all heard that. I've heard that for a very long time.
And sometimes our gut is wrong.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
so it's like in the moments where we know better and our gut is trying to tell us something, like we know, like, oh, I know that I just came here for a haircut. I don't want to use any new products on my hair because I came here for a haircut.
Right.
Like that is when we know, okay, I'm not really interested in being risky with my hair today.
Yeah.
That's my voice telling me, girl, you came here for a haircut. Just get the haircut.
Yeah.
For me, it's you've been here before multiple times.
Yes.
Hair pulling is something you are healing through every single day.
Yes.
When you get stressed, what did your therapist tell you to do?
Yes.
What have you learned with stress? Don't pull. Put the energy somewhere else. Like in those moments, we know.
Yeah.
There are some moments where it's like, we've never had this experience before. I don't know.
I'm uncertain.
I'm uncertain. Like, I don't know what my to do in my gut. Like, I don't know how I'm feeling. Then we have our friends who maybe are neurodivergent and they have a hard time differentiating. Is this my gut or is this something else? Right? So I think trust your gut. It can't be
universal truth.
Yeah. Sometimes our gut is wrong, and that is also the lesson, right?
Right.
But I think what's really important for us to know is ourselves.
Hey, Walk Stars. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Torre. Every week on my podcast, Torre Show, I interview amazing people like Andre 3000, Jada Pinkett Smith, Brisha Webb, Charles Blow, and all sorts of people about what fueled their rise to success and the ways in which being Black shows up in their work. If you want some inspiration to help achieve your dreams, listen to Torre Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and What do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome back to This Morning Walk podcast.
Okay, guys, we're back in the house. We were 21 minutes in, and the thing stopped recording. So
here we are, standing in the kitchen.
Making tea, standing in the kitchen.
Figuring out where we left off. And I think where we left off was, I was sharing that one of the things that is helpful for me, maybe not in this specific situation, but in life right now, is the phrase, tell me more. Mm-hmm. And it creates kind of a little bit of an opportunity for someone to kind of elaborate. So what I could have done in that moment mm-hmm. is to, in fact, say to my little voice that was saying, stop, 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 and just inquire, pause, tell me more, a little voice. Obviously, I wouldn't say it out loud. Right. I would just ask that question.
Yeah.
And then I could have also said it to the person I was working with, which is, before we dive into this, tell me more. Help me understand it a little bit more. So the opportunity is a little bit of a pause, a little bit more inquiry, a little more curiosity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really love that, because it's in those moments where we can be like, we can just take a beat, and we're not often taught how to take a beat in this life. It's like, decide right now. Do you want it? Yes or no? Are you doing this? Yes or no? It's just like, well, for my brain, for most of our brains, it's like, oh my gosh, can I have a second? And I think for me, what I'm learning is my phrase or my inquiry is, can I think about it? Even if it's just in the moment. So for example, when I go to my barber and we're trying to figure out a haircut for that visit, he'll say, okay, what are we doing today? Do you want a taper? Do you want me to cut it down real low in the back? How do you want us to do it? And a lot of times I'll say, I don't know yet. Can I think about it? He'll let me think about it for a minute or two. And then he'll say, here are some options. If I take it down real low, you know, I'm not going to be able to put that hair back. So why don't we start with a guard that's, you know, higher or whatever. I don't know the lingo. We start with a different guard. And then if you want me to go down more, I can. So it's us working together to get clarity and for me to be comfortable, especially someone who has a hard time making decisions on the spot, mm-hmm. or I'm just in a moment of like compulsivity. And I'm like, yes, I'm doing that. Let's do it, without really thinking it through. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, damn, I don't really love that. I did that. Or why did I commit to that? So even with events and stuff, mm-hmm. if my friends invite me somewhere, I don't just say yes anymore. I'm like, can I think about it? Mm-hmm. And I really think about it. Like, do I feel like driving? Do I feel like getting dressed? Do I feel like meeting new people and being on, you know? So it's just in moments of stillness where we can actually process what we're doing, wanting to do, and having clarity around that.
Well, I think what you're saying, what I hear in that is, you're not expected to create this kind of reflective response. Just respond for the sake of responding.
Right.
There's a more intentional mindfulness, which is, I'm just going to pause for a second. And as you said, we're not taught how to do that. We don't generally do that. In a way, what's valued in this culture and some is like the ability to give an answer right away. Mm-hmm. And I think if I, in that moment, if I had said that, I think, you know, it would have been a collaborative moment of working it through together. And instead of me feeling on the spot or feeling like I don't have all the information, but not wanting to offend or ruffle or challenge anybody's, you know,
anything.
Right. So I think both those phrases allow us to create a little space. Tell me more. Can I think about it? It slows life down to a place where there's actually an opportunity to consider.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
I think I got into a place where I just wanted to, I thought I needed to just give an answer. And that was the valuable thing versus the decision I actually made.
Thoughtful thing.
Mm. Right. So I think Yeah. I'm sorry we both had to go through it. To your point earlier, it's all solvable. It is all, we can attend to it and improve it. And then the thing that would be unfortunate would be to get to through this process and not having reflected on mm-hmm. the potential lessons. So mm-hmm. that's what I feel like.
Yeah. Lessons learned, man.
Lessons learned. Painful.
It's okay to begin again, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
all will be well. All right. Well, we made it.
We made it, walk stores.
From our walk. We're going to have tea and go to the beach. And yeah, we'll walk together again soon.
Thank you for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.
This Morning Walk is a production of Blind Nil Audio.
Produced and edited by Chris Jacobs.
If you find value and meaning in the conversations that Libby and I have, please share the show with a friend and consider leaving a 5-star review. Comments on Apple Podcasts really help us out. When you do that, it introduces this show to a bigger audience. Thank you so much for listening.
You are wonderful. Have a great walk.
The views, information, or opinions expressed in the series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Chip and Joanna Gaines, Blind Nil Audio, nor Magnolia.